Susanna.
Hello.
I am so happy to talk to you. Thank
Good
you.
evening.
Thank you for your patience.
All good, all good. I am used to the technical difficulties at this point. I think we all are.
Susanna, I fixed the scheduling link. So, because my poor guest, completely confused her, and I'm sure she thought it was in New Zealand time instead of New York time, but we are here now. Susanna Cardona is the oldest child of two South American immigrants who dared to want more. And she is the founder of the Mamish Community, which is a platform dedicated to contemporary multicultural mummies. Now, I'm a Kiwi, so am I pronouncing that right?
You are. I'm so happy that you were the first person to actually say it correctly. Thank you.
Oh, I am beyond thrilled. I have so many questions to ask you about the community, which is such a gift. But I'm going to circle back to the fact that you're in New York now, but you're
Yes.
born in Southern California, but you say you were made in New York.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I essentially finished growing up here. I moved in my later teens, and I've been here for the greater part of my life. So all of my adult years and anything that I became professionally, spiritually, I guess everything was made here in New York.
And you're, as the child of two immigrants who wanted a bigger life for themselves, apparently they planted the seeds of resiliency and self-determination in you. Would you tell me more about that?
Sure. So what's really great about my parents, my father is Colombian and he's the oldest of 13 children.
Wow.
So good old-fashioned Latin American Catholic family. They're originally from the countryside, grew up very, very, very poor. And he has a fourth grade education. He made it to the United States, becoming a fisherman at a very young age. And so he was able to see the world via tuna boats. But I can't imagine coming to this country and not speaking the language, not understanding the culture, and also, having very little experience outside of sort of, your very immediate understanding. But he really was somebody that was able to push through. And create incredible things out of his life. He, went on to become a multi-home owner. He had real estate investments and two very successful private companies that he launched with a fourth grade South American education. And same with my mom. She is Chilean and she came at the ripe old age of three to the United States. So she mainly grew up here in the United States, but I mean, she's a survivor of domestic abuse, and just always, was showed she has a high school education, but really was able to move on and grow and show that, if you put your mind to anything and you really want something, that you're able to push forward. So I think that coming up and being raised by two really badass parents, and I mean that, and I say that in the best way, has helped me become who I am and be incredibly resilient in a world and in a society that isn't always kind to women, that is definitely not kind to women of color or immigrants. And so, yeah, we have a really tough skin, and I'm very grateful for that.
That was so brave and so inspiring. So you grew up bilingual because you grew up in the States.
I did.
And can I ask a question? As a Kiwi, I was introduced to the word Latina and Latino when I came to the States. But you mentioned Latin X. What does that mean?
So Latinx is, I guess that, as language and culture evolves, right? We've all seen language and culture evolve and words come out of thin air and out of what's really happening now in time. Latinx is kind of the most contemporary description of people that have their cultural heritage is defined by Latin America. So their parents or their grandparents were born or they have ties to Latin America. But it's also inclusive in terms of gender. And so it's just a lot more of a all-encompassing term that a lot of people from the community are using now.
Thank you. I love to learn. You had your little boy in 2016. He's 5.
I did. Yes.
And that was a whole new experience of being an outsider for you. Will you tell me more?
Sure. I admittedly was a woman that never, you know, dreamt about being a mother. I didn't enjoy playing with dolls or playing house when I was a little kid. And I just never thought that I would honestly be a mom. And so when I ended up pregnant and really without a plan, I was like, I have no idea what to do, where to turn. And it was just a whole new experience for me. And the reason why I decided to kind of start the Momish platform was because I took to the internet, as most people do nowadays when they have questions about something. And I couldn't find my motherhood experience reflected in any of the images or blogs or anything that was kind of representative of motherhood at the time. And so I decided to launch Momish, but I've definitely always felt like an outsider. So the name Momish comes from when people would say, oh, you're a mommy now. And I'm like, oh yeah, mommy-ish, I guess. Cause I didn't really enjoy, you know, I didn't like all of the traditional kind of mommy things. So I just felt very much like I was either a bad mom or just wasn't doing this whole mom thing correctly, because I didn't have all the, I guess, the mommy sentiments that we're led to believe are very natural for women.
But I love what you put on. You can find the Momish community on Facebook. There's a great online community. They're really easy to find. A community platform built for modern multicultural mummies, because we're stronger together. And there's a great post on there about how bad mothers make the best mothers. Bad,
yes.
Bad girls make the best mommies. Do you want to tell us why?
Yes. So this is not the most popular opinion, but I am a firm believer that moms need to prioritize ourselves. Society and family and the world will tell us that we, you know, there's a big glorification about the mom who sacrifices everything for her partner, for her husband, for her household, for her children. But what I come from that model of motherhood. And what I realize is that there's no glory in martyrdom. I think that self-care is very much, and self-prioritization is so important, especially for mothers, because we have such an important role in society. And so what I mean by being a bad girl is making sure that you're taking care of yourself first, so that you have the energy to take care of other people, making sure that you are setting boundaries, making sure that you are asking for help. Because those things are important.
I hope that becomes more and more. I hope that becomes more and more evident, and I see that more and more, because we've been told the message for so long that to self-sacrifice for others as women, especially as mothers, so that really is going against the current to do so. And I love seeing my friends who are mothers thrive and have their own interests and their own pursuits. And,
absolutely.
And what a great example to their daughters.
Right, right. And honestly, to their sons. I have a son, and he's going to grow up, and if, you know, if he has a partner in life, he's going to say, oh no, ladies have to care for themselves. And he's going to know that his father also respected, mommy needs time. She needs bath time. She needs relaxing time. She needs some tea. She needs to go do her hair, you know? And so I think it helps society overall, especially in a time right now when we're battling toxic masculinity and things of that nature. Being raised by women who put themselves at the top of their list so that they can give more and have strength, I think is super important.
Absolutely. Put your own oxygen mask on first.
Yes, ma'am.
I was researching mums. I was doing a fun little Google search because I was thinking of your experience as an outsider, which I haven't got. I'm not a mother, and I blend. In America, I very much blend in because I'm a Pākehā, which means I come from European descent.
Okay.
So I Googled 25 best TV moms, and there was only one Latina in there. And it was Jane the Virgin.
Isn't that funny? And that's based off of like Catholic, you know, very Christian, like religious kind of mythology, I should call it. So that's interesting.
Because when you look at TV and movies, it sounds like you're not seeing yourself represented.
Yeah, not at all. And I mean, what I mean by multicultural is that, you know, my heritage and my cultural upbringing was very Latin, but I grew up here in the United States. And I find that, you know, you probably as a Kiwi or other folks, you know, in Europe or across the world, there's a lot of transition. People move. And so they might have a specific cultural heritage, but then have also the cultural upbringing of their host country or where their parents decided to immigrate. And so, you know, even talking to that diversity is incredibly important. You know, I grew up listening to classic Latin ballads and boleros, like we call them in Spanish, with my grandmother. And I love Latin music, but then I'm a child of the 80s and I grew up with hip hop. And, you know, and so I know that culture really well. And so finding someone, there isn't really a platform that speaks to that multi-layered, nuanced experience. And so I decided to create it.
And there is a platform available now.
Yes, exactly.
On your LinkedIn profile, which is fantastic, Susanna C, tasteful, equitable, and profitable. And I do want to talk to you about your styling abilities later. But companies can reach out to you for advising, contracting, freelancing, pay consulting. So this is another side of your, would you tell me a little bit about that side of your life?
Sure. So I, at this point, have 20 years under my belt of wine and spirits and hospitality experience. And so I grew up in the hospitality and wine and spirits industry. And so I've been able to travel a little bit and know the side of the industry very, very well. And I recently left a pretty big company that I helped build up over the past 7 years. And so I decided to, after COVID, the burnout was so incredibly aggressive. And I think, you know, I decided, like many people and many women decided, that I'm tired of making so much money for other people. And so I would like to go into business for myself. And I think I have a pretty solid track record of being able to help build really profitable wine and spirits and hospitality businesses. And so I just resigned 2 months ago, and I am now open to help other entrepreneurs build up their brands, particularly with consumer marketing. Oh, that's my background.
That is fantastic. And the best way is through LinkedIn for that. Yes. Opportunity. May I ask, are you able to comment on the hospitality and wine and spirits industry in New York at the moment? My stepdaughter has just gone back to work at a restaurant called The Grill. She was laid off with COVID, obviously, quite some time ago. Do you still have fingers in that pie? How are they doing?
You know, I think that New York is a very specific example. We thrive off of hospitality and small business here, luckily, for that industry. And so I think that people will come back, and when you visit New York, people are expecting to go out and dine and you know, have that real New York experience. So it's definitely slower. It's not what it used to be. But then again, that was the point of the pandemic, is that, you know, I don't think that we're going backwards. We have to look to the future to figure out this new way of living and thriving. But yeah, I think, you know, I know that people are hiring like crazy because there is a demand and tourism has started to pick up a bit. So it looks positive. I think that just people do need to continue to be responsible. But New York is one of the, I'm very proud of the city and how responsibly we have handled the whole COVID situation in hospitality.
And it is New York. Oh, New York. I was there 2 years ago visiting my stepdaughters with my husband, and just that's the energy of that city.
Yep.
There's nothing quite like it. I just realized I said I wasn't a mother because I don't have any biological children. I married in life. I married at 48, and my husband came with these two beautiful women who were already in their 30s,
Okay.
who were kind enough to call me a stepmother, but I've never had to parent them. So,
well, here's the thing, and this is what I'll because I'm also a stepmom. So I have one biological child, one son, and then two stepkids. But there's not enough, you know, that's the thing about motherhood is that it doesn't just mean that you just gave birth to kids, right? Your influence and the love and the guidance and your experience is also incredibly valid, whether they're adults or not. I think that there's so many ways to be a mother figure that we're just, you know, again, because the message that we're given in society is so limited to just, you have biological kids, you're raising them with your very hetero kind of, you know, existence with your opposite sex partner. And this is, there's just one way. And that's not necessarily true. So I would not downplay your stepmom influence on the family overall and the support that you give to your husband. That's also super, super valid and incredibly important.
And I love the fact that they want to come home for Christmas. We haven't seen
them. Look at that.
And with their father, I have created a home, and they will always have a home to come to.
Yeah. And that's, and again, you hit the nail on the head. The key word there was home. And so you guys are creating that, and obviously they want to go home to it. So that's beautiful.
Yeah. We're very much looking forward to it, especially since they're bringing a puppy.
I'm sorry. I just had a weird thing happen on my phone.
Oh, look, it was probably my end. And you know what? I just realized, I keep forgetting, women never need to say sorry to each other.
Ever. Yes, never, never, never. No need.
It's a platitude, isn't it? Sorry, excuse me. Whereas really, excuse me, women should never need to say they're sorry to other women, especially, and generally shouldn't need to say sorry in general. One of your sayings, which I think is fantastic, is that rebellion is key and that pushing boundaries begets true innovation. I adored that. Where did that come from?
Brand building. I think that all of the incredible brands that I've been fortunate enough to work on, none of them came from doing something that was cookie cutter or following the path of someone else's success. Everything was difficult. Everything was there were the naysayers that would say this brand would never be successful, this company would never be incredible. And, you know, going against the grain was really kind of the formula, or and staying true to whatever the brand vision was, were things that I saw that really played out well. And so I'm a big supporter of rebellion and asking questions and, you know, always questioning and always never being told that you can't do something, but always asking and trying to figure out how you can make it happen.
Oh, I love that. Hey, I just want to circle back to Christmas because I just remembered one of your posts was absolutely fabulous on the Mumish community, fabulous Facebook online community. Oh, and you can also find the Mumish community on Instagram.
Just yes.
Mumish community, and make sure you follow that, which is... because we are stronger together. But you had a great post on your Facebook about holidays can be challenging. And you were giving advice for holidays because they can bring up mixed emotions. And there were two words I didn't understand. You were talking about you might have an overbearing, forgive my pronunciation, suegra.
Yes, very good.
A tia. What are these and why would they be problems?
So suegra is mother-in-law, and they can sometimes be overbearing. It depends, you know, some are not, but some are. And that's kind of something that a reputation that follows them. And then tia is auntie or an aunt. And so, you know, many of us have those aunts that, you know, always want to comment, have something to say no matter what, no matter how great you're feeling. They have something to say about your weight, about the person you're dating, about how you're feeding your kids, about anything, right? You showed up too late, you showed up too early, how you seasoned the turkey. And so these are holiday gatherings, when even though we're all excited to gather and be around our family, sometimes they can be high stress moments for many of us, in particular women.
I don't think there's any holiday that doesn't have some kind of stress that goes along with it.
Right,
societal expectations. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and there was a delusion that they should all be like Hallmark movies.
And no, mine are definitely not like that.
And Susanna offers some great advice about how to set boundaries and respond to unsolicited advice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Particularly in the Latin community, you know, our families, especially the women, are very opinionated. So nothing will go unnoticed, and it can be a stressful time. It can be a stressful time for a lot of us when we're gathering.
So what are some replies when advice you don't want from well-meaning people who love you?
Yeah, I think that it's always important to make sure that. You know, you're being polite, because again, these are people that you do love and that you do respect, and just kind of keeping the tone of thanks so much for this opinion, right? Or this thought that you're having, or this advice, but I'm good. I have it from here, you know, or even throwing it back at them a little bit. I think one of the suggestions was, well, how do you apply this, you know, this piece of advice in your own life? And sometimes that stunts folks. That actually, I actually just used that one over the weekend of thanks so much for that opinion. How do you practice that? And so it kind of made them stop. And just, you know, she ended up walking away, but you know, not being rude, because I mean, we can all argue, and you don't want to be the one that ruins the holiday gathering, but definitely being able to stand your ground. You know, we're adult women, and we've been adulting for a little bit, you know, so we've got this. And if we need advice, we'll definitely reach out. But you know, keeping your opinions to yourself and saying that in a gentle way is also a form of self-care and taking care of yourself and making sure that you are being able to enjoy your time with your family.
Absolutely. For people from the Latinx community who are listening, how would you say that in Spanish?
Which part? Just any kind of response?
How do you, thank you for this. How do you advise in your own life?
So you would say, like in Spanish, you would say, gracias. You know, you always want to, in Spanish, everything is overly emotional. So, oh, gracias por tu opinión. Thank you so much for your opinion. Or por tus sugerencias, for your suggestions. Te aviso si necesito algo. I'll let you know if I need anything further. Right?
Well, boundaries, the multicultural, there should be boundaries in every language. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, of course.
Hey, I'm going to circle back to the fact that I have a passion for fashion, and I have worked with style in the past. And I could practically dribble over fashion magazines, because I find the clothing within them to be works of art. They just make me happy. But I often used to say to clients, and I still say to my women in my life, if they do have any self-doubt, there's no such thing as a bad body. There's just bad clothing.
And usually, I say the same. And we share that.
I know, and it's usually there's just bad designers. But I also saw that you say there's no such thing as bad bodies, but there's just bad style choices. And you're here to help. You help your friends make great choices.
Yes, yes. I think that it's really important. You know, it's hard, honestly, to find good clothing now if you're not going out and spending a ton of money, especially, you know, now in a time where people are being overly budget sensitive, which is totally understandable. It can be tough, right? And in cities where maybe tailors are not everywhere, New York, fortunately, and I think LA is another place where, you know, big cities where the tailoring kind of industry is still very big. But I believe in finding that magical person, that seamstress or that tailor that can turn any kind of inexpensive garment into like something special. And I think that above all, fit, you know, the way that a piece of clothing fits the body is it, that's above all, you know, the most important thing.
It has to fit and flatter.
I agree.
Wonderful, beautiful, incredible women who are wearing badly fitted clothes just because
yes.
they know that. And I have found a great tailor in Seattle. You're right. They're not, they're fewer on the ground, but I couldn't live without mine. Just taking something in slightly, taking something up slightly, readjusting something, it will look as if it was made specifically for you.
I agree.
Hey, would you tell us about your fantastic mumish lives? I know you talked to a personal trainer recently.
Yes. So I do a live on Instagram every Thursday. So again, our handle is at the Mamish Community, M-A-M-I-S-H. And I try to talk to different mom small business owners. And so this past Thursday, I spoke to an incredible mother of two, personal trainer, and award-winning bodybuilder. And that is very, very rare, especially in the Latin community. She's a Dominican woman from New York. And so she's also happens to be my personal trainer. And I love working out with her because you will see the kids running through the background as she's training. And I think it just gives such an endearing and very real kind of feel to, you know, we moms really are able to do so much, in women in general. But lives, I always like to highlight a mom entrepreneur or mommypreneur, as I like to call them.
And that was Jenny Rodriguez, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I'm looking at her now. She has, it's obviously, she really knows what she's talking about. I can tell by the sculpting. Wow, that is fantastic.
She's pretty serious. So we talked a little bit about just how maybe she doesn't fit like the stereotypical kind of idea of beauty, and how she's even experienced commentary, taking her kids to the park. She actually said on the live that one mom walked up to her and asked what she was doing in the park, which I thought was so wild. But she's so gracious and so polite. And she said, I'm just here with my children. And the woman actually pressed her and said, what children are yours? Like almost asking for proof, which I thought was out of control, rude. And, you know, she says that she encounters stuff like that all the time. So you can't win if your body is not whatever the ideal aesthetic is that we're sold. You know, you can't win.
I'm going to put you in touch with Diana Becker. She was my personal trainer. She's now working in the medical industry, but superb trainer. And she's tiny, and she looks like Wonder Woman. So she's this gorgeous, tiny.
I love it.
This beautiful woman. And a lot of bodybuilders have breast implants. That could be part of the look for that particular industry. And
right.
The amount of unwanted attention she gets and the preconception as a Latina, having that particular look. We could
go on forever on that.
We could go on forever, but I'm so sorry your friend had that experience. I mean, what the hell did that woman think she was in the park for?
But that's what I said. I'm like, what is wrong? But that's what I mean. Like, we can't win just as women in general. If the world and society isn't hard on us as is, then you're a mom. And then the kind of mommy mob, if you will, is incredibly, incredibly judgmental and very, very harsh. So it just doesn't get easier. And again, that's why I think platforms like mine, and there's a lot of other ones out there that I think are important, just to talk to the realities and create support and community, because it's all such, you know, bullshit, really.
It really is. Now, this, you can have fun with this. Unidas somos fuertes y peligrosos, which is we are stronger and fiercer together. I loved your post about the power of sisterhood. We can't allow society to set us against each other, because it was society that led to that, the misconceptions of that woman at the park who your friend responded so graciously.
Right. I think that I've been fortunate. So I was raised in a very matriarchal household. I lived with my grandmother and my mother. My mother and my father divorced when I was very, very young. And so I lived with two incredible powerhouse women, and some of the most, you know, incredible kind of life journeys I've been able to take, take by the hand of a woman in my life. I've had incredible mentors, and the friendships that I have and the sisterhood. I think it's so important. And, you know, we are told that we come from such different backgrounds, but there are things that really, really unite us. I don't know a woman in this world that hasn't dealt with some sort of discriminatory practice. I don't know one. I would like to meet her. I haven't met one. I haven't met one ever that, you know, hasn't been expected to be small or be quieter or stay in the shadow or not shine. And so there are experiences, and if we focus more on the experiences that unite us, I think that we are very, very dangerous as a collective in the best way.
Women are the answer to everything. That's why I started the podcast.
Yes.
I wanted to showcase, and I have had the privilege of talking to over 140 women so far.
Wow.
Women, of course, is amazing, and we can lift each other up. And I know very few women who haven't experienced a Me Too moment either.
Right. That is the saddest thing. Like, I don't want to have that in common with other women, but I do.
Yeah.
But I do. And no one wants to have that in common with other women. We want to be the one that says, I've never experienced that. And unfortunately, I don't know any woman that hasn't experienced a Me Too situation. That's shitty. Yeah. You know?
It completely and utterly sucks. Hey, I think you might have mentioned this before, but I love this. I've heard mompreneur, but
yes.
Mommypreneur. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah. So in Spanish, mommy is M-A-M-I, not to be confused with M-O-M-M-Y. And so, you know, just a little kind of cultural twist so that folks know who I'm shouting out and supporting.
Do you have any messages for multicultural mummies out there? Anything that would you like to invite them to your group?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I would love them to join, but more importantly, you know, I would love the message to be that our experience, as layered and as crazy and as maybe ugly as it is, it's so valid and so important, and we still have so much to give. You know, I don't know, you know, there's lots of women that we look up to and that we think that they have it all together, but you know, all of our experiences are so important, and to continue to stay open. I think that that's super, super important, to continue to be open to building more bridges and connecting with more women and uplifting more women is probably the most important message that I could give.
It was a wonderful message, because we are stronger together. Find this incredible community, the Mamish community. It's at the Mamish community on Instagram. Please tell me if I got that wrong. Or find Susanna C on LinkedIn. I thought that was great, because there were a few Susanna Cardonas, so it made it very easy to find you. And you can also ask for style advice. Once you were
in the
community, especially like what to wear for the holiday parties coming up, because my new friend here is not only sensationally good at brand building, but she is also a style maven.
It's part of the branding, right? I think that if you look good, you feel good, and I don't know anyone. It's similar to the gym, right? Everyone hates going to the gym, but no one regrets once you leave the gym. Once you leave the gym, you feel like a badass. And so even if you don't like shopping, or if you feel like you're not your ideal whatever body image, there is a garment, there's something that you can wear out there that will make you feel like a badass. And sometimes it's not even a garment. It could be, I love a signature red lip. I think red goes on every woman. You just have to find your shade. That is kind of my key.
Here's to badass women,
yes,
badass women wearing a signature red lip with a great tailor. And please check out the Mamish community on Facebook. It's such a wonderful resource. Susanna, thank you so much. I know we had a little hiccup with the time difference, and you're so gracious because it's now 6:15 in New York. And I hope you have a lovely rest of your evening.
Thanks, Erin. Same to you. Thanks for so much for having me on.
How do I say goodbye? Ciao.
Ciao, adios.
Ciao, adios, gracias, gracias, gracias. Bye.
Gracias, gracias, bye.